Welcome to Baderson. We make up stories, improvised and recorded live. We start each story by choosing a random phrase from a source of text. My name is Mike, and my source is Beastie Boys Book by Michael Diamond and Adam Horovitz.
My name is Casey, and my book is The War of Art, Break Through the Blocks and Win Your Inner Creative Battles by Stephen Pressfield.
My name is Drew, and my source is Writing Science in Plain English by Anne E. Green.
My name is Ben, and my source is Shadow Dark by Kelsey Dion.
All right, Drew's going to choose one of us to pick the prompt.
Ben.
Flipping to a page. Powerful, swift herd animals that roam the open plains.
The prompt is powerful, swift herd animals that roam the open plains.
Bison were truly gigantic creatures. He had never stood next to a full-size adult bison before. This one had been injected with a dart and was paralyzed. It was on its side. So it wasn't even standing upright, and it was nearly as tall as he was, just standing next to it.
And he could not, for the life of him, figure out how they were going to get this thing off of the ground and up into the truck.
He asked his mom, who had been doing this kind of work for decades, do we have like a winch or something? She said, no, usually there's a lot more of us here.
We've got a few come-alongs. We've got some chains. We've got some, the truck is up for it. But we're just going to have to work this out using leverage, using all the tricks that we practiced.
And she just started going on to this discourse about the pyramid builders and how they just used rollers and wedges and look at what they did. She was always going on a big monologue about everything. It takes just a few simple machines and you can achieve the unthinkable.
And Eric's mind wandered like it always did when she went on these monologues, and his mind wandered to Sweden, where his cousin lived. And where he had sent many, far too many love letters and never got a reply, but he couldn't help himself.
He'd come out to the field with his mom to kind of get that out of his head. He was trying to break that, so he'd agreed to like come out for the summer. But usually she had a whole bevy of like graduate students and stuff that he'd met before. And, you know, now that he was 18, he was like, well, I'm just going to go sow my wild oats and like get my cousin out of my head.
Eric was doing this job basically to meet girls and stop thinking about Layla.
And he had a lot of, he'd made this argument to his family so many times, and he really believed it, that, you know, she wasn't his cousin by blood. It was his mom's sister who had married Lundvik, and it was Lundvik's brother's daughter. So they were not related by blood, and so Eric just was for
Plus,
a long time was
she
saying
was
this
Swedish,
to the family,
and it like things were just sort of whatever over there.
Yeah, as far
and
as
so
he understood.
That was part of the argument for him was, if he were Swedish too, no one would care. They could do anything together.
Plus, kissing cousins is a phrase he would say all the time to
and
himself.
And his mom would be like,
to talk to people.
Yeah, it's not. It's a phrase that's like it's making fun of something. It's sort of criticizing something. It's not.
And then she'd go on a long monologue about how
incest taboos and
the fall of the Roman Empire.
She was a wildlife biologist, and she would often bring genetics into the argument and talk about the value of genetic diversity and so on. But
and he was like, I know exactly. We're not related. And it was just like, he had this ironclad case he'd worked out, but it was clear that there was just a lot of tension because he thought, okay, the best way to go about this is just headlong. So he like made a big deal out of announcing it to everyone in his family that he was in love with Layla and that he just really thought they were going to be together. He thought that was the best way through, was to just be like really straightforward about it. But it just generated a lot of tension and a lot of pushback. And
not least in Layla, who had no interest in Eric whatsoever. She did keep the letters. She read about half of them and then sort of stopped. It was just getting a little too intense. But just in case she needed it for legal proceedings or something, she kept them in a shoebox under her bed and didn't share them with her family for the most part.
And Eric was wrong. It was not different in Sweden. This was not a comfortable idea for Layla, and she did not know where he had gotten this idea. I think they had a lot of fun when he had gone and visited in Sweden. They went to Stockholm. They partied. You know, she definitely conveyed the impression that kids had more independence and they could kind of do whatever they wanted. In that sense,
one night where like they'd worm wrestled, which involved kind of getting into your sleeping bags and kind of like trying to wrestle each other. And, you know, that was something, yeah, she did a lot at slumber parties and, you know, they were cousins. So it was fun, but like maybe that was where it started.
Eric got the wrong idea. Eric got the wrong message.
The bison, he could feel the heat coming off of the body of this creature. And the smell and the just being up close to this thing was really remarkable. There were you could see a couple ticks on it. It was pieces of skin that were sloughing off. It was probably like shedding or something for the season. It was just like a ragged, rough, wild beast that was just sort of breathing very slowly. And he and his mom sort of walked around trying to figure out where to hook up the chains, trying to, you know, get it onto the truck. She'd said it had some kind of illness and needed treatment that they couldn't do in the field. So they were going to try to bring it to this kind of it's more of a shack, but she called it the like clinic or like a facility that was just a storage place where they could do some more sophisticated.
He just followed her instructions. You know, she wanted him to participate in the design of what they were doing to hoist this thing. And he just waited it out like he did when she was in these situations. And they used the chains and some levers.
He was mostly thinking about like if he could snap a selfie during this. He thought that might be impressive to some people.
And he's kind of going through the motions. He's, you know, his mom's, they're standing on opposite sides and they're sort of taking turns pushing back and forth to be able to like wedge these rollers under and get, you know, feed chains through under the bison's abdomen. And he's just,
they get it a few inches below the tailgate. And then his mom says, Eric, get up there. And you pull on these, and I'm going to push from down here, but you need to be up there because I'm too weak to pull up there. But we just got to roll it into the back now. And he takes the position, and he wraps the chains around his hands so that he can like grip them really tight. And she counts to three, his mom counts to three, and he pulls, and she heaves at the same time. And they get the animal all the way onto the truck. And he's really proud in a way that he's never felt before. That was a hard thing to do. And he says, nice work, Mom.
And she says, thanks, buddy. And you can tell she's a little proud of herself. She knows she's a badass. And they start working on strapping the bison down to the truck and getting it secured they don't have to go far, just about a mile. And she says, oh, heads up. And Eric kind of looks around and the herd, which this animal had been separated from the herd, is one of the reasons they were concerned about it. The herd, which they thought was far away, had actually kind of started at least a few of the animals had kind of started to circle around the truck, or from one side of the truck, they started to kind of half encircle the truck with curiosity and kind of leeriness. They were starting to come a little closer. Bison, not generally very timid animals. And, they knew they had to get things secured and get out of there before things got serious.
And if the bison had seemed big when it was lying on the ground, now they seemed enormous. And Eric felt like genuine fear trickle down his spine.
And he said, "Mom, can we get out of here?"
And she said, "Yeah, yeah, just calm down. They're not going to do anything. We have plenty of time."
And she got into the cab and he stayed in the back. And she's driving in first gear, really slow. And he actually bangs on the top and says, "Mom, let's go faster." And she's like, "We can't jostle the animal." She always called it the animal. And the herd is able to keep up with no problem. You know, they even send like a group out to head them off. There's six bison that trot and then turn and face the truck.
Last summer was the last time that Eric actually saw Layla, and they had a ton of fun. They spent the whole summer they spent up north at Hendrick's like place on the fjord, his cottage on the fjord, and I mean, it just felt like her friends would all come over and they would all go skinny dipping, and they all spoke English really well, and they would just have these really vulnerable conversations where they shared secrets that they never told other people, and he really felt close to the friends, and he just felt so invited into this world. And she would write him little notes. You know, he would wake up and find these just like little notes that just said simple things like, "Hope you have a beautiful day," with a little drawing of a flower and things like that. And it was a magical summer. It was the first summer that he ate raw fish. It's the first time that had ever happened. They would fish, and yeah, they tricked him. They actually told him it was like a tradition, and he ate it. And then they were like, "Oh, we're just kidding." But he liked it.
And you know, he felt he could tell. He would always be, even when he was enjoying himself, casually searching the crowd, and their eyes would just meet just all the time, like at random moments when you know, there were 15 of them skinny dipping and swimming, and they would both come up out of the water and just their eyes would meet and she'd smile at him. And so he felt that energy. And even, you know, when he'd gone home, he still felt like she was looking at him.
And it's why he just couldn't believe he sent all these letters. And she just wrote back an email one day that said, "Please stop." And he just couldn't figure out. He just couldn't square these two things. It just didn't make sense.
And in the back of the truck, his phone vibrates and he's nervous about the bison and he's actually glad for the distraction. And he always checks his phone because it always could be Layla. And he looks and it's a picture text from Layla's friend, Greenst. it's a note in her hand that says, "Wish I could give this to you in person." And it looks exactly like the notes that Layla had been leaving for him all last summer during that trip.
Now it's about 9 in the morning, and Eric knows that that means it's about 6 p.m. in Sweden. It's also summer, so there's no chance that Layla is asleep or anything. So in a mad impulse of just like, what is going, I gotta, he pulls up a video chat app and just dials Layla, and
she doesn't pick up. And then he does the same thing to Greenst, who answers and says, "Oh, hey, oh my God, where are you? It looks amazing." And he's like, "I'm in the field with my mom. We're doing this thing with bison. Did you just text me?" And she said, "Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm so glad you got that." And he says, "What are you doing with that note?" And she says, "What do you mean? I wrote it."
Just and like all like, the others.
And he says, "What are you talking about?" And she says, "What are you talking about, silly Eric?"
And where the hell are you? And he kind of wheels.
And at that moment, his mom like bangs on the window and says, "Eric, focus."
And he realized that there are a half dozen bison bearing down on the truck. And as he's whipping around, the phone camera is also whipping around and kind of greenst is getting the picture of this giant animal in the back of the truck. And there are all these angry bison sort of galloping next to the truck.
And his mom is pushing the tranquilizer rifle through that little mini window that's in the back of the cab. And she's like, "Fire at will."
She's like, get the one in the middle. If you take down the one in the middle, it'll split the others. They'll break off course.
And Eric says,
Greenst hears all this and says, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And Eric says, and with a little bit of an action hero rush, says, "I gotta go. I promised. I'll fill you in when I can." And he ends the call, puts his phone in his pocket, and aims at the big one.
He pulls
and
off,
fires
a
away.
Pulls off a shot, and it hits true right in the center of the chest of the big one. The big one doesn't even react or slow down; just kind of keeps running. And Eric calls back into the cab, like, "I hit it, but it's not nothing." She says, "Just relax.
Hit it again. Give it a minute. Again.
Hit it again.
Hit it again. Give it a minute, but also hit it again, just to make sure."
So he hits it again, and it's some of the bison are kind of a little startled at the noise, and they kind of back off a little bit. The one in the middle sort of starts to slow down, and they've gotten themselves a little bit of breathing room, and she's putting her foot on the gas a bit too, although not too much. Don't want to disturb the animal.
Still in first gear.
Yeah, it's still
so
a little
Eric nice. Calls Greenst again, and he's like, "Oh my God, that was so intense. I just shot a bison." And she's like, "Oh my God, are you okay?" And he tells her the story, and then she says, wait, turn the phone that way again." And he's like, "Which, this way? No, right there. Is that bison dead?" And he says, "No." And then he looks at it and it lifts its head, the one in the back of the truck with him. It lifts his head and he's like, "Oh shit." And the bison like starts to shimmy and moan and it's trying to get up. And he bangs on the back window of the truck and says, "Mom, it's awake." And he jumps out of the slowly moving pickup as this animal, which takes up most of the back, is struggling. It's kicking its legs and struggling to get upright. It gets into a halfway kneeling pose. And his mom slows down because she doesn't want to make the animal fall over and break a leg or something, and she actually slows and comes to a stop, and Eric runs around to the front of the truck, so that's the farthest part away from the bison, who now gets all the way up and is standing in the back of the truck,
still chained to the truck, but fully standing.
And also very groggy and kind of imbalanced, and his Eric's mom kind of slows down. She doesn't want it to fall over, hurt its legs or anything. And you said Eric is in front of the truck.
The truck has stopped.
Yeah, the truck has stopped. So she says, get in or get on or something. And he kind of like hops onto the hood of the truck, or just kind of stands on the bumper. And
the whole time in his hand is his phone still, and Greenst is like speaking, like has been yelling in Swedish. And he looks at his phone and he says, "Hey, tell Layla I'm okay. I'm going to be okay." And then he hangs up.
His mom says, see if you can get another shot off, hit him again. And Eric kind of crawls on his knees up to the front windshield of the truck and kind of sets up a shot over the top of the cab and pops another one into the chest of the bison.
The one in the back or the one?
The one in the truck.
Hmm. And it is a fast acting trank. And so the bison sort of bends its legs and melts down into the truck bed, and the truck shakes. And then
the herd had been following behind a little bit and was a little riled up by this activity, but was keeping its distance now. And Eric's mom started the truck back up, and they only had a little further to go, and they get to the clinic, you know, which is again this sort of just kind of an empty building that's got a big garage door. And Eric hops out and opens the garage door, and they drive the bison in and shuts the garage door, and the rest of the bison all, you know, are kind of approaching, and he shuts the door and they go in, and things are a little calmer, and Eric's mom has a setup in the clinic where she wheels a sort of an exam table and a surgical kind of table over to the truck, so they don't actually have to remove the bison from the truck to examine its liver, because it had given a lot of symbols, the way that its eyes were leaking fluid and its behavior and its unusual herd separation behavior was emblematic of a liver virus that has been impacting nearby herds. And so she wanted to examine the liver, do some other general medical checkups, and see if they needed to do some procedures. But things sort of settled down in here, and she gave Eric some instructions to move some stuff around. And he just was, things came down. He came down off his high a little bit, and he just started to reflect back on the last few trips to Sweden. As he was thinking about it, he was like, yeah, every time we were skinny dipping, you know, I'd pop up and I'd lock eyes with Layla, but I noticed that Layla was like, would lock eyes with me, and then she would like look at Greenst. And I just thought, and Greenst was always smiling, and I always just thought Greenst was like happy for us. You know, I thought that Greenst was, this was Sweden, she didn't care that we were cousins. She was okay with this. And over the years, all of a sudden, Eric was reconstructing all these memories these kind of secondary interactions with Greenst, where Layla, you know, seemed really ebullient or joyous to be hanging out and was always including Greenst in things or inviting Greenst along or saying, you know, oh, hey, did you see what Greenst is wearing today? You know, and all of a sudden, it just all started to click, like, Greenst, just her presence in his memory just all of a sudden started multiplying dramatically.
The clues were obvious now, but he had been so focused on Layla, he never noticed them at the time. And the way that you can when you're young, he just redirected all of his attraction and other feelings Layla.
His fixation for Layla it was immediately repurposed.
Just pointed it right at Greenst. She was the one. She was the one. And he grabbed a notepad that his mom used in the field and wrote a little note to Greenst that said,
I wish you were here to give me this too.
And I'm sorry for being a dummy. And he took a picture of it with his phone and texted it to her. And meanwhile, his mom was finishing up the...
His mom is at the tail end of a long monologue, like, and they say you can't call it a clinic unless it meets these certain criteria, but I say a clinic is anywhere where you're achieving the act of medicine, whether it's veterinary or human medicine.
And in the background, the bison is like lowing a little bit.
She had a whole series of injections that she'd given the bison, various antibiotics and other nutrients and so forth. And she called them her vitamin shots and always winked when she said it.
She handed Eric a jar and said, so you good to go? And he was like, oh, wait, I think so. Just tell me one more time. And she said, you need to take this sample. And there was this fleshy little blob in there. A piece of a biopsy.
It was part of the bison's liver.
Yeah.
She said, you know, the bad news is he does have the liver virus. Good news is we caught it in time. So think we have, it's pretty positive prognosis.
She tested it right there in that field clinic. She had just the device she needed.
Surprising amount of equipment in this old jet.
But they needed proof at the
National Bison Research Center in Sioux City.
And she said, take the motorbike.
Take it.
You gotta take it. This sample will spoil if we don't get it there within 4 hours.
The NBRC needs to see this, and it needs to see it now. Eric, I'm going to ask you one time.
I got to stay here. I got to put the bison back out with the herd. You got to go.
Eric, you got to take the
motorbike. And you have to focus. You're really good when you focus. Eric said, I got it, Mom.
He jumped on the bike, which honestly he loved. The bike was one of his favorite things whenever there was a reason to ride the bike. But he also was kind of interested in continuing this conversation with Greenst. And he hopped on the bike and just
strapped the helmet on
real quick to make sure there weren't any imminent bison. Strapped on a helmet.
The best part about this, too, was that, there was the way you rode the bike out of the clinic. There was a door that was hinged at the top, and it didn't have a prop or anything like that. It's a really just the most effective and efficient way to go out of it was to just ride the bike straight into this metal door that would just fling up in the air, and you would speed out. You had to be going fast enough to clear the door when it fell back in, and so he just loved that. He fired the bike up,
gunned it, and went through the flip door, and he had his phone stuck like right under his crotch. It was the only safe place. Like it was pinned under his crotch against the seat, and he felt a little vibration. And so with one hand on the handlebars, he pulls it out and he sees that Greenst replied, and he, you know, with one eye on where he's going and one on the phone, he thumbs a little reply and stuffs it back under his crotch, puts both hands on, and he's going down through the plains. There's just like a road that has been formed over their truck, mostly going back and forth across this field. And he's biking along, texting every minute or so when he gets a reply from Greenst.
And in
one of his rear views, he sees a bison with a cloud of dust coming up behind it, and he twists his neck to look behind him, and sure enough, there's three bison sprinting after him and gaining. They're 20 yards behind him now. But they're drafting and taking turns, and they clearly know what they're doing.
They're pissed, and he's he gives it a little more gas, and he's trying to find places. There's only very, very short, scrubby kind of trees in this terrain, but he's looking for gullies, he's looking for trees, he's looking for anything to kind of break up their pace. And he knows there's a main road coming up, and once he gets there, there's no beating him on pavement. But
his phone vibrates again, and he looks down, and he sees it's Greenst, and he really wants to answer it, but he's like, I have to focus. Mom told me to focus, and then it vibrates again, and he looks down, and it's Layla.
And then he hits a bump, a rock in the ground, and his phone goes flying out of his hand, and he manages to get his other hand on the handlebar, but then he can't right the wheel, and he tumbles and he rolls in the ground, manages not to get crushed by the motorcycle. And then he gets up and he whips the helmet off and he looks around and he sees the trio of bison sprinting toward him. And he just dives and pins himself against the motorcycle, and the bison jump over him and land, and they slow themselves down and circle around. And one of them stays there, and then two of them come around and surround him.
And he picks up the sample and he holds it up and he says, look, look, I know you guys think I stole your kid or your wife or whoever that bison was to you. I know you guys think that I stole him, but we're trying to help. We're trying to help, man.
And he's shaking. He's got the jar up and he's shaking the liver sample at them.
And
this doesn't placate them. They
don't even seem to understand what he's saying.
He sort of felt like he was developing this connection with the bison, but they don't seem to be getting it.
And there's kind of this standoff that's for some reason they've stopped charging him completely and they're kind of inching a little closer. It's clearly still dicey situation, and he hears his phone ring, and it's like a video call ring.
It's a really special ring. It's not a ring from just anybody. It's a ring from a very specific person.
And he realizes it's Layla's ring, and the phone sounds like it's about 10 feet away, and the bison hear the ring too, and they all kind of like turn and look at the
because the ringtone is a recording they made of these Swedish
hawk, a particular predator bird in Sweden, and it's just calling. It's a very intense call, and the bison kind of startle a little bit.
And Eric has a little moment where, even though he's completely translated his obsession onto Greenst, he has this moment of remembering when he and Layla were sitting on top of this foothill that's on a little island that they had canoed out to. And he had a little moment where they recorded the sound of the hawk, and he was just kind of like, God, really? I really thought that we had a thing.
It makes him feel a little bit like mature and like, you know, like, oh yeah, I've moved on. Like that was, you know, I remember those feelings, but you know, that was a long time ago.
And the bison.
And he really wants to answer the call to tell her that it's over. He doesn't care why she's calling, but he's like, okay, no. And he crawls toward the phone. And one of the bison moves toward the phone at the same time, about the same pace. And right before he gets there, the bison just places its hoof on it. Doesn't crush it, but just sort of claims it. And actually, it presses on the answer button. And Layla's face shows up on the phone.
And he goes and he sort of goes to make a reach for the phone, and the bison like puts its hoof down in front of the phone. You know, it takes it off the phone and sort of blocks his hand in front of the phone.
And lowers its face into the like towards the phone.
And so Layla is staring into the eyes of a bison, you know, with the prairie sky behind it.
And Eric takes a moment and he sort of He goes to try to go around one side of the hoof to get the phone, and the bison blocks it. And he tries to go the other direction, the bison blocks it, and the bison lowers its face even closer to him and just lets out a kind of sound and looks at the jar. And Eric looks at the jar and looks at the bison, and the bison looks at the phone and looks back at Eric. And Eric, sort of almost as if it's a question, lifts the jar.
And the bison over. Lifts its hoof just a little bit off the phone.
And Eric sets the jar down to the side, near the phone, sort
and
of
the
to the side of the phone.
Places its hoof down on the ground 6 inches on its side of the phone.
And Layla says, what in the hell is going on over there? And Eric says, just a second, Layla, just a second, I'm negotiating.
I have something really important to tell you, but I need to finish this first.
And then he says, I need to return this piece of their family. And he's saying that to the bison, and it's like, right, that's what we're doing here. And Eric nudges the jar even closer to the bison, and the bison taps it with its nose, and then opens its mouth and gently
picks it up by the top and raises its head and looks at the other two bison, and then they walk away.
Back to the direction that
they came. Wagging their tails, swatting the flies off of their rumps.
Eric picks up his phone and starts to talk to Layla and is like, Layla, wow, I'm so glad you called. And she says, "What? Green said some crazy stuff was going on. What the hell is happening? Do I need to call my uncle?" And he says, "No, look, everything's fine. I'm fine. I had a little bit of an accident, but listen, Layla, I got to tell you, it's over. Look, it's over between us."
Yeah, it's just never. It was never going to work out, and you know, I think I think it's just for the best.
And Layla says, "Yeah, okay, great. Glad to hear that. And it sounds like you and Greenst are connecting, which is something that I'm glad to hear."
I've been trying to make that happen for 12 years.
And Eric is like, "But I still like you a lot. I still like you, and I want to be your cousin. Like, I just don't think, you know, that's a thing for us because, like, Greenst is like,
we don't have a future other than being cousins." She's like, "Okay."
Layla says, "All right, well, I'm going to let you go. call me if you're in danger or anything." And
he's like, "I meant every word in those letters. It's just things have changed." And she's like, "Bye."
She ends the call. And Eric kind of nods sagely and says, "You know, that's good. That's good.
She's going to be okay."
And he looks at the motorbike and the wheel is just mangled. It's completely unrideable.
He actually looks at his hand and it's a mess too. His fingers on his left hand are all cattywampus. Like, he got fucked up on that wreck.
And so he sets the helmet on the motorbike and puts his phone in his pocket and follows the bison back in the direction that they came, making his way back towards the clinic.
He thinks about calling Greenst, but he makes a decision very unlike the decisions he'd made in the past. He says, "I'm going to give this one time."
And so he does. And he learns a lot about himself, and Greenst and him start a little remote romance.
She later comes out to visit because she is infatuated with that landscape that she saw during the bison adventure. And
Eric ends up going to veterinary school, takes over the practice from his mom, who
was tragically trampled to death by a bison.
The end. Baderson stories are improvised and recorded live over the internet. We clean up the audio, but we don't edit, rehearse, or redo any content, for better or worse. Subscribe and find other stuff we do at baderson.com. And keep those stories flowing so that the herd can keep a going.